Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrier from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform, for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you.
Process. That is a very important message. We didn't get very far with it, but if you can remember or take a note of those keys, it'll bless you. My concern is that, and this sound is so nice. I'm not gonna go to back to Centurion if they don't get my sound right, you know, because we pay so much money and then it doesn't work. What did I want to say? Oh, yes. That message will change your life. I am concerned. And you're going to see tonight what God will do in this region, what He will do in this city. Because religion has caused a bloodshed. Are you guys with me? Religion has caused a bloodshed. And God is, you know, the Lord is not happy with many people have been hurt. And let me say this. There's nothing in Scripture. There's nothing. In fact, the presence of God cannot come into a place where traditions are. Put me Mark 7 verse 13 on the screen. Mark 7 verse 13. Some of the traditions. Look at this. Next, go verse 12. Okay, doesn't matter. Then you no longer let him do anything for his foot. Let's go to the next verse. Listen to this. Making the word of God, serving the word of God, of no effect through your traditions which you have handed down. Are you guys with me? The word of God is higher than God. The book of Psalms says that I exalt my word above my name. Are you guys with me? Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. The Word, John 1 verse 1 speaks of the beginning of all things. Genesis 1 verse 1 speaks of the beginning of this earth. Are you guys with him? Of this world. So we confuse that too. The word of God is higher than him. What do I mean by that? God is bound by his word. His word is who he is. That is why Jesus Christ is the word. His expressed image. The Shekinah glory made visible when he came to this earth. He's the expressed image of our Father in heaven. Are you guys with me? The word. Here is saying, as powerful as what that word is. Look, in this conference, like I said, we preach different to what we have preached in Centurion. Different messages, everything. And it is, here we're going to go into the power of God. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night. The church only know one or two realms of the power. They don't know the other four extra of the power of God. And that is the problem. We've ended up as Christians filled with the Spirit, but having no demonstrations of power. Are you guys with me? And the church preached two powers, move and none, but preach about two levels or dimensions of power. So we're going to touch on that, but I need people to be open because look, say with the traditions, it's saying as powerful as what the word of God is. The word of God was right in the beginning. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 8, the wisdom, chapter number 8 says that wisdom was right there in the beginning of everything. Are you guys with me? The word of God, God is, the book of Psalms says that he exalts his word. He holds his word up above his name. Meaning, if you can find a promise of God, in the scripture for you. He is bound to bring it to fulfillment. He is bound to His word. His word is His integrity. Are you guys with me? His yes is His yes, His no is His no. His word is His integrity. We call that you hold God to His word. He's looking for somebody that can remind Him of His promises, or that can command the works of His hands. Now it's saying, yeah, look, there's one other thing as high as what the word of God is that has the power to eliminate that. So the traditions. He's saying we make the word of God, the power of God, to no effect, that it has no power because of your traditions that you have handed down. Wear hats in church, no hats. Women are not allowed to have jeans or what nonsense. Traditions, we must walk like this. We must dress like this. We must talk like this. It's traditions handed down. Somebody jumping up and prophesying at every time in 40 minutes in the service, speaking in tongues. And those things have killed the church, because we have put traditions above the word. When you know the word, it is not, where's the Bible? It is not, these guys have just phones. There's nothing like a Bible. I don't like it having being on phones. I can open this word, but if this word does not open itself to me, I will read and my hands will automatically close the word. When this Bible sees that I'm not spiritual, it will take my hands and close this word to me. The thing is, the word of God is what a lot of people think prayer brings power. It's the word, not prayer. Prayer is oil. It's another, we'll get into that this week. Prayer gives you the efficiency to move and demonstrate the power. But the word of God is one of your highest levels called Kratos. It's everything in this earth, in this life, in this universe is held together by the word of God. Are you guys with me? So when you are somebody that gets into the word Kratos, it is the power of invincibility. It is the power that we say that if somebody puts a gun against you and shoot you, the trigger will not pull, or a bullet will stop. And it happened to me twice. Are you guys with me? It's a Kratos power that Christians has to walk in. By Kratos, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. By Kratos, He raised Himself from the dead. Are you guys with me? Kratos is Greek. It's the Greek word, one of the dimensions, one of the six dimensions of the power of God. It is that dimension that made Him to walk on the water, where the molecular density of the water shifted and changed, because He came from another dimension, touched this dimension, and a lower dimension has to submit to a higher dimension. The kingdom of God is in a higher dimension. The Bible says that we will go from glory to glory, from one state of existence into another state of existence, from one dimension to a higher dimension. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 16. Are you guys with me? Say with me, the power of God. Here Jesus is saying, He says, you have made the word of God, that I just explained now, of no effect through traditions. Religion and tradition in the church has nullified and eliminated the power. And it ended or gave us a result of people sitting in the church and just looking. And their spirits are dead. They cannot respond. They have no joy. The first sign to salvation, the presence of God, is joy, freedom. Are you guys with me? Satan has robbed many people of that. And King David says, return to me the joy of my salvation. Salvation comes with joy. It doesn't matter what persecution, what trials you go through. There must, when joy or freedom is removed out of a church, you must know God is leaving. Are you guys with me? Jesus said, when I cast out devils by the finger of God, you will know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Meaning, if you see demons being cast out, you must know that the kingdom of God is there. If you don't see demons being cast out, you must know the kingdom of God is not there. Are you guys with me? So, making the word of God to no effect through our traditions. I want us to lose our tradition this conference. I can choose to keep my tradition, my reputation, or to have an encounter with God and be free. I either have my tradition and then I keep my demon, or I lose my reputation and I become free and I encounter God. He is not somebody that we are doing him a favor to worship him in church. Oh no. Are you guys with me? I've seen too many, and we changed that in Centurion. I've seen too many pastors in pastors' fraternals, 100 pastors or so, worshiping and not raising their hands. That I walked out and I quit the one, I resigned with the one. The other one I went to with my team, I said, never again. I said, I let them go. Guys are just standing there. The pastors that want to lead you to God, they're just standing there. And be careful if we raise our hands or on our knees because, you know, we are emotional. Hey, say shh. Okay, that's all I say to the devil. Okay, Eli became spiritually blinded, and he was sitting at the threshold of the temple, looking at Hannah, weeping at the altar, and the Bible says she was, her lips was moving, but she was not. There was no sound coming out because she was praying to God inside. And Eli looked at her and he saw and he thought she was drunk, yet he was drinking. Are you guys with me? And he thought where she had an encounter with God, he thought she was drunk or had an evil spirit. And religion will blind leaders that even the people in their church will have a greater encounter with God than what they have. Or they will say, where people experience the anointing, they'll say, that's not the anointing. It's the spirit of Eli. Are you guys okay? Because every time we preach here, you send me emails. There's like a few that comes in here. You'll be exposed, hey? No, they do. They do. When I say that, it's just the one next to you. Just say to the person, it is not me. Okay, the one next to you, it's But that's the reality. Do you know we got death threats from pastors? Are you guys with me? If I mention the names, you'll get a fright. But I refuse to bow to these things. We have seen so many people delivered, free, serving God with a passion. That in Centurion, they said, because we were not even going 3 years, we were going 2 years, and we have already packed. When I say packed to capacity, people couldn't even walk into the building. And they said, somebody must have given me millions because this is not normal. Are you guys with me? And but that's the only way they can think. And no wonder they gave us millions. I hope they did, hope that they didn't. Kingdom would be so much easier if that happens. God can so much. The only thing, this is the saddest thing of all. The anointing is not lacking. The word is not lacking. If you have to ask any minister, what is the difference? What do you need to have a worldwide revival? They'll tell you Not prayer, not this, but finances. That is the only limitation. And, you know, and God has been so good to us that from the first day that I started ministry, I've never asked for 1 cent. Now we take up offerings because we are a church. But I have never ever gone to a person to ask them to give me money. I have never borrowed or begged for money. God would send people to us. From the first day that my feet touched Gauteng, people came to me and just began to tithe, began to give. Provision is a sign of God's approval. Are you guys with me? We did this church without taking up an offering from you. Are you guys with me? People think this just happens. We did it without raising any money. We have a vision fund. Never mentioned this, eh? Never mentioned this building, nothing. So where God's provision is, that is where He is. And, you know, I'm not getting on money. That's not the point. Save the traditions. It's going to be removed in this conference. Because I saw that God is going to touch hearts. Look, a heart is hardened by a few things. One of them, say the religion. Number two, say traditions. Say offense. Say unforgiveness. Those things is what hardens the human heart. And a person is unable to encounter or feel the presence when those things have taken place. And when we let go of it, we can encounter His presence. Are you guys with me? That made us to be insensitive towards God. People are worshiping, we can't even raise our hands, we don't feel Him. We go out for prayer, we don't feel Him. It feels like our heart is hard. Your heart needs to be circumcised. The love in the church has grown cold. And people have changed discernment to suspicion. They have exchanged a love that is supposed to be in the church to a cold heartedness love. And somebody, a sinner or somebody would come into the church, we would judge them. Or I'm preaching, I don't know how to dress anymore because the preachers don't like anything I dress. I think I must, come naked. So we have judged on the external and the outside. And we have created a limitation when it comes to what God can do in a gift, and we don't receive. God's hunger and an encounter comes in when we are hungry. We break before him. We begin to have brokenness. The Bible says He is near to the brokenhearted. His presence is near to the brokenhearted. You will see Him coming into this place, this conference. If you're in the back, He will touch you. The only person He will pass by is the person who's allowing their heart to stay hard. He's looking for somebody that said, look, I'm bringing you to the breaking point. All you need is to cry and repent or break open. That is all. Otherwise, He will drive us to a place where we lose everything. Because our eternity is on this balance, on the scales in question. God will push us and cause circumstances to break us if we don't break ourselves. That is why He says that He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I have felt God resisting people. I'm telling you, coming through ministry, I have seen God resisting people. I don't think people want to see that. I've showed one or two that were close to me and I said, look at this or look at that. This is God resisting somebody. It doesn't matter what happens. Nothing happened for a person. There's a season for your life. So with you the process. Let's get into one or two things. So I wanted to show this verse to say, let's get rid of our traditions. Let's get rid of our religion traditions. Let's not box God up. As long as I preach this word, Pierre, as long as we're in love with Jesus Christ, it's all good. You know, I said to our leaders last night, or Friday night, we had importation night, Friday night, I think we had 180 people going through our discipleship, our vision, doing F1, F2, School of Disciples, and in School of Leaders. Then what I do is we have a night of importation, and then we import there to them. Importation is real. Are you guys with me? There is no way. I think it was Marie that told me, and I was blessed and shocked to hear that. But I remember she said something that before she met me, she prayed for people, and it was normal. It was like a normal good Christian pray. And like I said, we'll demonstrate power this week. Now, you'll separate, but when she came in touch with our ministry, began to move with us, all of a sudden power came on her life. It is undeniable. It's importation. Are you guys with me? So I think, Shame, I think even the pastor where you were at and the whole family, everybody came to us, look, if you don't have an anointing, you cannot fake it. The anointing is not manufactured. It is either present or not. It's either there or it is not there. You can sing as beautiful as you want, preach with a very powerful gift. If the anointing is not there, it is God is not honoring that. It doesn't matter what you do. If you don't get connected to somebody that has it, it's not going to come. I don't know if you want to hear this message. The guys are not responding. You guys look upset with me. Are you guys with me? Just an enema message that I have. If you didn't hear that, you don't know that story. People need an enema to get rid of religion and have a release and love God. He is not serious. So, have you your seats? Say with you the process of God. So we spoke this morning on the arrows being, I think it was Isaiah chapter number, help me, 48, 49? 49, verse 13, 5, something like that. Hey, 1, verse 1. Put on the screen, Isaiah 45, verse 1. I'm not going to preach the same message. I'm just going to go to a poll. Huh? That's what I said. Listen, O coastlands, and take heed, you people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. Say, He has called me. From the matrix of my mother, He has made mention of my name. Next verse. And He has made me a mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of His hand. We'll get into that this week. The shadow. God's shadow. The shadow of His hand. He has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. The word hidden there means He has, in His shadow, He separated me. Then He's preparing me, shaping my character. Then He has made me a polished shaft. Which means, as an arrow, he was polished with sandpaper, made completely smooth and aerodynamic, that it can hit the bullseye. Are you guys with me? But this arrow, and he says, in his quiver, say with the quiver, he has hidden me. The word hidden there means to have refreshed. So you receive a refreshing after you go through a season of preparation, a season of hiding, a season of the secret place, and then getting revealed. Going through character shaping. Are you guys with me? In his quiver, he has hidden me, which means there's a place, it is called God's quiver. It is the secret place. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 10. Let's go to verse 32. Are we there? Listen to this. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, say with me, after. The word illuminated there means enlightened. It means revelation. After your eyes has been opened. Meaning, after you receive a revelation regarding the call of God on your life, you're having an encounter with God and suddenly your eyes open and you are having a revelation. They said, recall the former days after this revelation came, after you discovered who God has called you to be, that you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Are you guys with me? He says, look, you have to go through sufferings after you received revelation. If somebody doesn't attack you when you have an encounter with God, then you didn't have an encounter with God. Because when they look at you, they will see the light of God on you. They will feel, but you have changed or something's different. Are you guys with me? I remember with my family, when I got saved, and I got radically saved, they said to me, you have changed. You are now judging us. I said, you're right, I have changed. But you feel judged. It doesn't mean I'm judged. The Bible says light and darkness cannot be in fellowship. So I didn't understand at that time why everything was turning against me, going wrong. It is because after I received revelation, I endured a struggle with sufferings. Next verse. Partly, say with me, partly. Listen to this. While you were made a spectacle, meaning people are laughing at you, a laughing stock, a gazing stock, the other translation says. While you were partly, while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, meaning people point at you and say, oh, see, this is why it's happening, why you're serving. It's because you're serving God like this that this is happening. It's because, you know, you're in a church on a Monday or a Tuesday and a Wednesday, in home cell, in e-groups, in prayer meetings, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's too much. Hey, I'm being made a spectacle. I've received revelation. And usually those that have always been with you, they would, if you receive revelation, they would want to hold you down. Okay. Because people want to remember you the way they know you and are comfortable with you. So usually I'll get to some ministers or pastors or so on that has known me for very long ago, and they'll always say, you know, yeah, you know that Leonki. Yeah, you know, he was like this and that, and he did this. That was then. This is now. There's been, maybe someone has repented. Maybe heaven has approved in the interim of somebody. But they will look or remember you as they would have remembered back then, because they cannot receive or expect you to have grown. Are you guys with me? Jesus, when he went to his hometown, they said, who is, look, this is just a carpenter's little boy. It's not Jesus. It's not the Son of God, the Christ. He's the carpenter's little boy. They will keep you to a natural place. Remember him, how they grew up with him. And God is unable to move in that. The Bible says even Jesus himself could do no miracle, no great miracle, except lay his hands on a few and some get healed. It says these words, quote unquote, God, Jesus, could not, say with me, could not do a miracle. I have a message. The time that God was unable to perform miracles. Are you guys with me? Familiarity, family, friends, religion want to bring you down to what they remembered. And you'll see why. You'll see why. Say with me, made a spectacle. In the King James, it says a gazing stock, an embarrassment. They make you a spectacle. Newspapers, magazines, as I said this morning, any man of God that is being used in the anointing will some of the time be persecuted. The fact that newspapers might take your name is because God is moving there somewhere. Are you guys with me? It happened to Jesus. His own family called him a madman. They called him out of his mind. His own family. They said he was a con man and a fraud. The Bible. They said he was in fraud. They said he was a con man because he had Judas with him, who was his treasurer. So as he was walking, he had an accountant. He had 12 disciples together with Judas. He had to look after their, where they stayed. He had to look after their food, everything. The Bible says the Herod's wife and the people that worked in Herod's house was following Jesus' ministry, giving out of their substance to him. So they began to call him a con man, saying he's conning the people. He's committing fraud. His family said he's a madman and out of his mind. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you guys with me? And we do the same. We do the same when people get on fire or get touched in a church. And then we wonder, why is God not visiting churches? It will not be so here. And you know, you will get people that want that religion, so because they don't want to be challenged. They don't want to sacrifice. God is looking for blood to see, when can I throw my anointing on them? The priest in the Old Testament was anointed on the ear, on the thumb, and on the toe, first with blood, then with oil. God is looking for bleeding. Who is bleeding? Who has gone through sacrifice? The devil is looking at preachers and say, I want to see who has cuts of sacrifice on them. Because if they have fasted or if they're bleeding, they have power on them. Hey, come on. Are you guys with me? There was a war. I think it was between Israel. Was it? I don't know if it was Syria. Not sure. And what happened was the king sacrificed his own son and hanged him from a wall. And the Bible says God looked at this thing. This is the king of the enemy. God looked at this thing and he looked at his own people. And he moved sides to this one. He said, there's no sacrifice. Are you guys with me? Because symbolically it spoke about his own sacrifice as his son, Jesus Christ. And God moved sides, and that's the enemy won his own, won the war there, the battle there. God moves to the side of the one that says, I want to sacrifice time. I want to sacrifice my comforts, my flesh, my energy, my finances. I want God to see that I'm bleeding, because sacrifice is answered by fire. Say with me, fire. Only if it is a true sacrifice will you see the fire of God touching and falling on that. Are you guys with me? So look, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions, say with me, companions, of those who were so treated. So are you now with that Leon? Encounter. Somebody said, you know, apparently there's a church where people get set free, where drug addicts get free. Apparently people getting businesses and finances there. So the person said, yes, it's my church. That is good gossip that goes around. Are you guys with me? Have God come into this midst. I want us every night, let our hearts be so hungry for him. Let tradition, a preconceived thought, what religion has done to us, what the church has done to us in the past, or hurt us, let's throw it out. I want people to say, I want an encounter with God. I want a fresh hunger in my life. I do not care what fire, what trials or tribulations or persecutions I'm going to go through. I want to serve him with sacrifice. Are you guys with me? Say with me, let's go to the next verse. Let's carry on. Let me show you something. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and my joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you've better enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Go with me, next verse. Quickly, next verse. Therefore, listen to this. Do not cast away your confidence. So the confidence, which has a great reward. What is the confidence he's speaking about here? He's saying, look, you're going to be treated and say you are associated with those. They're going to look at you and saying, after you were illuminated, you received revelation or the vision or the call of God for your life. They're going to say it's not possible. They look at Jesus and say, but you are Joseph's little boy. You are only the carpenter's son. Who are you? You are not this Christ that they are speaking of. The thing is, the book of Hebrews is saying that if we listen to those voices, when Jesus was in his hometown, he was broken because those voices, he was hearing those voices. It was the voices that limited him and threw away his confidence. Please, confidence is not, doesn't make him not God. Jesus is 100% divine, 100% God, but he's also 100% man. He had to empty himself of all divinity coming to this earth. Are you guys with me? So when you look at somebody that want to remember you of the old, or they don't want to accept your vision, your call that God has placed upon you, and you listen to that, your confidence is thrown away. Because now you begin to doubt and say, but did God? Because when you now pray for them, they don't fall over. I'm just using that as a, nothing happens. You take their hand and pray for them, and they look at you. And then you go to somebody new who don't know your past. You might have just gotten saved. You pray for them, they receive the power of God. He says, don't do it with this one, because you will lose your confidence and you will think that you are not called. Are you guys with me? And when you throw away your confidence, you're losing a great reward. What is this reward? A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown. In fact, the scripture says a prophet must be honored, quote unquote. Honor belongs to him except in his own hometown. So the way you know you are a prophet is, and let me not even say a prophet, let me say, if you are called of God, your own house and friends will not accept you. That is the reality of God. I prayed for my family, I think it was 10 years, and my mother then got saved. In a meeting of mine, I prayed, and the power of God hit her, but it took 10 years. They kicked me out of my house because I was on fire. But I could have made a decision to be intimidated by them or to serve God with a passion. If I was intimidated by them, I would not be, there'll be no encounter. They said to me, you must go out with your friends, go back to the nightclubs. Something is wrong that you just want to pray in your room. What are you talking about? I am hungry for God. I have a fresh fire. I encountered him. Are you guys with me? Let's go to, this is what I want to give you, and we'll finish with this minister and pray for you, because his anointing is going to fall. I am a different preacher. I'm waiting and I'm funneling. When I say funneling, like siphoning, channeling the anointing till I feel it is the right moment. Say with me quiver. Say it again. Say quiver. There is a quiver of God. It is called the secret place. It is a place of darkness. I'm not going to get into a secret place teaching. That's not for now. We did at our previous conference in Centurion. It is a place where you are hidden. And if you are prematurely birthed, the purpose of God cannot come to pass. Are you guys with me? Secret place is protection. The quiver is protection. The arrows speaks of sons and daughters. That's a quiver is full. And I heard this for the Lord say to me, your quiver is full because I have trained many and imparted to them. One pastor phoned me and said, Leon, you know, I lost this person in my church. Now I mean, the person has been going for 5 years, planting a church for 5 years. He said, I can't, when I go on holiday, I must preach all the services. I'm sitting at home while I'm hearing this. I said, Chris is preaching there. Morten is preaching there. My quiver is full. I don't think you understand. Don't look at me like that. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, I have begotten you in the Lord Jesus Christ. A people must be birthed and begotten before God. The kingdom of God works on fatherhood, nothing else. Are you guys with me? He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we've made a mistake to say, God is my Father, my only Father. Call no man on earth. Yeah, shut up. You don't know what it means, that verse? Okay? Otherwise, you can't call your natural father a father. Because call no one a father. So, a church has to be begotten. A people have to be birthed. That church must be birthed on revelation. When we planted here, we don't, not nice, nice, nice. We do it with revelation. We strike it with revelation. Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. On this rock, on this revelation that I am the Christ, I will build this church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this rock, this revelation that Christ is the Son of God. So Peter had a revelation that Christ is the Son of God. It is on the revelation that the gates of hell shall not prevail. It is a people that carry revelation whom the devil is scared of. It is not the anointing. Are you guys with me? The devil is afraid of a light, revelation. And many people are anointed. Look, the devil is anointed. The Bible says Lucifer was the anointed cherub. In heaven, Lucifer was the most anointed. And in the book of Ezekiel, it says, by trafficking and merchandising of the anointing, you fell out of heaven. By merchandising and making it a commerce, you fell. But Lucifer knows the anointing. The gift is irrevocable. So when he looks at a minister and he sees the anointing, he's not impressed. He's impressed by light, revelation. Because his name, Lucifer, means light bearer. Somebody who brings light. The word Lucifer was a worship angel, a worship leader made out of instrumental music instruments in heaven, which means it is a worship leader that sets the level of revelation in a church. Are you guys with me? I was in one church, Witbank or something, and they were like playing that thing, that concertina. You know? Accordion. Concertina, isn't it? Like, I don't know. Say with your light. I thank God we have even worshipers, a band, that can bring the glory in. By that level, revelation is set in a building. And it is determined whether God is going to move or not. Revelation on your life is what scares the devil, not the anointing. Are you guys with me? Revelation is what opens a person's eyes. It's what makes them discover who they really are, where they're coming from, where they are going. The devil is afraid of somebody who discovers who they are in Christ. It is revelation. But the church has died and lost that revelation. Spirits have become dry, and we just can't wait till the church service is over. Then you get into our church. And then you sit on the edge of your chair. And it just feels like something is moving in you. And we haven't even begun yet. Let your spirit come alive. God wants to heal our soul and our spirit before prosperity comes in any other area. King David says, let my soul prosper. Prosper me as my soul prospers. Meaning, bring finances or prosper my life to the level that my soul is healthy. When my soul is destroyed, no prosperity can come. Persecution will bring the greatest glory of God into a place. Are you guys with me? Just before this conference, do you know how many threats I've got? Many, I haven't even told people. It was too much. Didn't tell my wife, didn't tell anyone. Threats. Now, I think the building flooded yesterday. Not that. Threats from TV to newspaper. And maybe he's sitting here. Huh? You have, Jesus was outside of Jerusalem. And he said, go tell that fox, Herod, that I will cast out devils and I will heal the sick and I will die and be raised again. Go tell that fox. But then he realized he was outside of Jerusalem, and the scripture says, prophecy says he's supposed to die in Jerusalem. So he said to his people, he said, look, take swords with you, because I cannot die outside of Jerusalem. Are you guys with me? But why did he say, go tell that fox? Because his crucifixion was taking too long. He had to stir up somebody or some attack so that God can be moving. When the devil begins to attack you, or people try to put you on a spectacle, you must know that God is about to move in your midst. That in this conference, you will see a move like never before. The threats. Look, you have three levels of attack. The first one is temptation. When a Christian is still tempted, they baby. I'm not tempted by that. Tempted by baby Christian. The second level of attack is persecution, physical persecution. The third level, the highest level of attack, say with me, accusation. It's when you're now being accused. That is Satan's job, function, title, name. That is why any Christian that accuses another one is becoming, taking the job title of Satan, and they are brother of him or a son of him. Are you guys with me? The accuser. So I got all these attacks and threats, and so many ministers were contacted thinking and lied to, I'm not going to get into detail, but that I'm going to do something what the news said or a TV thing said, and they all signed up. In the meantime, I don't know about it, but my name was misused. Then they came and threatened me. And I said to these ministers, when they found out the truth, sorry, we just stop it. I said, look, why do you want to get fame? I said, I have never signed up for any media thing, never granted one interview, although we've been requested a lot of times. There's nothing. I said, why have you signed up? I said, all of you, you have signed up to bring another minister down. Are you guys with him? But they needed me as the main person. And we tricked them. And God revealed it. I am not into fame. The Bible says your fame will go before you. In Centurion, we're trying to keep our church, trying to let people not come because it's too full. We have never battled for a move of God. I said to another church, I said, your problem, the difference between me and you, a young guy that I know, I said, is you want a church, I don't. You want a big church, I don't. Lose that desire so that God can work with you. As long as you still want it, it's still alive here. And a prophecy must die before it can be resurrected. A promise of God must be laid down. Are you guys with me? And die before it can be resurrected. We have gone through so much persecutions. Curses by ministers. I curse you by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This and that and that. I had one pastor. Alan knows. Where's Alan? We won't say his name. sweating you, hey, sending you a message. I think you'll be too sensitive to let's just say F, like forgive. Okay. But they stole him. A pastor. And then we wonder, why is God not pouring out his kingdom? This pulpit, I don't preach a name. I try not to read anything about any minister and just read the written word of God. Don't look at newspapers. I don't look at these things because there's a whole website thing going around in Krugersdorp. These people are doing Satan's will in the church. And, you know, they send this stuff to our children's parents, to our youth's parents, to say we are a cult. Look, there's no mercy for those guys. Really, there's no mercy. Their destination, they are destined for destruction. There's nothing you can do with them. They've been going for many years. You might know them, might heard of them. And that is them that has kept this city closed. And that's why they threaten us, try to kill us, death threats, this, that. As long as what I'm still breathing, I will. The problem is this. They can stop me. And I had a vision, I know what's going to happen. They can stop me, but they can't stop those that I've imparted to. Because it is already too late. The Bible says that if they knew that they have crucified the Lord of glory, they would have never done so. Because when the devil had him on the cross, he was thinking, yes, I have him. It's over. Just about to find out that he was actually meant as a seed to be sown on this earth, to give birth to many brethren that became flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, spirit of his spirit. That when the devil put him on the cross, it was too late because the devil sowed a seed that is bound to multiply. And now he doesn't have one Christ to deal with. He's got many Christs, many anointed ones. His trouble just got more.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.